We're going to finish Psalm 51 today, the last six verses, and we're still talking about our heart and our spirit here primarily, and the forgiveness of the sin of David is his whole prayer in Psalm 51. And the last two times that I was here that we met, we went over the beginning portion of it, and you remember all of the requests: have mercy upon me, O God, and blot out my transgressions, and wash me and cleanse me. And then again in verse 7, purge me, wash me, make me hear joy and gladness. Hide your face from my sins, blot out all my iniquities, and create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. And so we have all of these requests. So this is just a great prayer, particularly a great prayer, as we know, in the whole area of forgiveness and repentance and brokenness and contriteness. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we will sing a little praise song here, Change My Heart, O God. Father, as we bow down before you this morning, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you tell us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, not one of us are free from sin. Not one of us will fail to sin today, really. We will miss the mark today somewhere along the line. And yet, Lord, we know that the price of our sin has been paid by the precious blood of your Son. And you see us cleansed and pure in those righteous white robes. But we're here this morning, Lord, to hear from you. We're here this morning to pray to you. And Lord, the prayers in the Bible are so revealing, as they teach us so much on how to pray and how others have prayed, and about your glorious mercy and grace, and your desire to forgive us of our sins. Your desire to have that sweet communion with us, not broken by sin. You tell us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit through disobedient sin. And so, Lord, it's not that we don't know, it's what we do know that bothers us, really. And so, Lord, we want that closeness with you not to be marred or separated through the rebellious heart or the excusing heart or the blaming others heart and all of that kind of thing that we like to do, trying to make ourselves look really good, and rather than facing the depraved hearts that we have apart from you. So Lord, lead us now, and do change our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me, this is what I say, pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. And we all say amen to that, huh? Well, turn to Psalm 51, and we're going to look at the last six verses, as I said, beginning in verse 14. Psalm 51:14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Open, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then You shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. We notice a number of things in this continuing prayer here, and it ends in a very interesting way, I think. But in verse 14, he continues to request of the Lord, deliver me, deliver me. Now, he's already asked for the restoration to uphold me by the Spirit, and as a result of that, then we can teach others, we can teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted. That was the promise in verse 13. And now he goes right back again to deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. He is now, I think, moving from the point of maybe having made the excuse, well, Lord, I really didn't kill Uriah. You know, I didn't actually stick the sword through him. You know, it was done by the enemy, you know, really. Perhaps he said that, I don't know. But here he's coming really clean, it seems, and he's saying, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. He is acknowledging his guilt. He's acknowledging, I shed the blood of an innocent man. We know even back in Genesis when Cain killed Abel that the blood spoke from the ground, the guilt of bloodshed. Blood is life, and when that life is taken, then basically the guilt of bloodshed is a hideous thing because we've destroyed someone created in God's image. So, what God is he talking to here? He's praying to the God of my salvation. Well, what is the God of our salvation? Is he not the God of our salvation who delivers us from all sin? Does he not deliver us from death? So when you're asking the deliverer to deliver you, you're really praying to the right God here, aren't you? Deliver me, O God of my salvation. And then what is the result? We see joy here is the result. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. And can't you almost see David here, having almost a year gone by since this occurred, and we know in other places where it says his bones grew old and he was dry, and you know he couldn't really praise or sing praises in that guilt condition. He must have had his lips closed and must have been very quiet, but here he says, my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. How about you? Are you using your tongue to sing aloud of God's righteousness? Verse 15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Continuing on, there's instructions here for us to open our lips, to show forth praise with her mouth. Again, question, how am I doing in that area? Am I really praising the Lord? Opening my lips and just shouting out praises to him? Singing aloud of his righteousness with my tongue? Am I doing that? Or am I just quiet? Am I just quiet? Yep, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving my soul and go on about our day. I think we need to be praising him. Verse 16, you do not desire sacrifice or else I would give it. Well, that's a strange thing because the whole law, the whole system is based on sacrifices and we're commanded to make sacrifices. So what's going on here? He says, you do not desire sacrifice or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. I believe what we are being told here is we do not substitute worship or ritual for repentance and requesting forgiveness for brokenness. And how often we do that. I was just in Ghana, as you know, and I had the opportunity to speak for almost an hour with the confessed killer of our missionary, desperately hoping that he would have a repentant and a contrite heart, that he would allow the Lord to forgive him. But no, he was obdurant. He was not willing to confess really in that level. He was making excuses that somebody else, which I'm sure is true in this case, but he was making excuses that others had put him up to it, and he kept going on how all these years he'd been with our missionary. He had never touched a penny. He had never harmed him, and he was, you know, making himself so self-righteous, totally forgetting that he shed the man's blood. You know, and then isn't that the way we kind of do things? We just make ourselves look so good, and we totally want to overlook the guilt. But here he is saying, I do not desire sacrifice. And what this man told me, he said, since this happened, I have never gone to church so much in my life. Well, what good does that do? Go to church. You know, but here is the thought, like here, I'll offer sacrifices. I'll offer burnt offerings. God loves those. Yes, he does, but not when there's sin that hasn't been dealt with. And so we will end here today with this psalm of saying, then I will desire sacrifices. And so I believe what we have here is a real good statement as to what God wants in this case of needing forgiveness, because he says what? The sacrifices that he wants are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Now, sacrifices is plural there, and some see in that a continuing sacrifice of a broken spirit. And the broken spirit here, I think, not means just crushed. It's not that my spirit is just crushed. It's just destroyed. I don't think so. I think your spirit is breaking away from sin. I think we need to have a spirit that recognizes we sin and we want to break away from that. So it's a breaking away of the spirit from sin and a broken and contrite heart. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? So we see here some words which are kind of interesting. I looked a few of these up. First of all, we see contrite. That is means opposite of hardness. That means to collapse, really. We see brokenness, which means crushed, destroyed, or torn. And a good example here is Josiah in 2 Kings 22:19. You don't have to look there because it's just a short statement. But it says, Huldah, the prophetess, is saying, the Lord will hear you, King Josiah. Why? Quote, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord. So, question again, is your heart tender? Are you humbling yourself before the Lord? If you do, he will hear you. So, it's not just one sacrifice of a broken spirit and a contrite heart, I think, but many. And how contrite are you, or is my heart, is my spirit? How pleasing to the Lord our spirit and our heart. So, these are good things to think about, I think. And then as we finish this here, in verse 18, we're in Psalm 51, verse 18, wrapping this up actually. Verse 18 says, do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Well, what's that all about? I think as part of this last part of this prayer here is to pray, in effect, for the church. I think we're to pray that God will do his good work, his good pleasure to Zion. Here, this is to Jerusalem, but this is the kind of the headquarters of worship. This is kind of the headquarters of the sacrifices and so forth. This is where the temple was. Build the walls of Jerusalem. In a way, I think he's saying to strengthen this, strengthen Zion. And there's been a year has gone by here because of David's sin that there probably was some a weakening in the overall worship of the people. How can you have great worship by the people, or in effect, great worship by the church, if you have one of the leading heads of this, in this case King David, having committed this sin? And you know he wasn't worshiping. He wasn't praising the Lord because he was filled with guilt. And I think it's important for us to recognize we need to pray for the church, even though there's a stain of sin all around us. There's a stain of sin in our nation. There's a stain of sin within the church itself. Much of the church is going the wrong way with all kinds of emergent doctrine and everything else, but we're to pray. We're to pray for that. We're to pray for strength in the body of believers. And then, verse 19 is the capper, I think, then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Now that just follows two verses earlier, 16, you do not desire sacrifice. So notice the switch here. First, God says, I don't desire sacrifice, and then he says, I do desire it. Well, he doesn't desire sacrifice if you've got guilt and sin, and if you haven't repented. And if you're going to use worship instead of that, he doesn't want that. Once you are clean, once you have repented, once you have asked for forgiveness and the sin issue has been dealt with, then worship, right? Then offer sacrifices, burn offerings, whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. So we see here this psalm comes all the way full circle. We're starting out with just a disastrous situation as a result of this guilt, but asking God all these requests and coming through then finally with a total repentance, with a total brokenness of spirit, which I think, again, as I mentioned, separating the spirit from the sin from the spirit, so to speak, and from the heart, a broken and contrite heart, that we have that soft heart, that confessing heart, not that obdurant heart that's still holding on, well, I was really justified. You don't know what that person did to me. I was justified in doing to them what I did. As long as we hold on to that, we can't worship. Yeah, we can go to prayer meetings, we can do whatever we want, but that's not what God wants. He wants us cleansed and clean, right? And so we see that, and may we take heed of that. Father, we thank you for this beautiful psalm. We thank you that you do want us to worship you. You do want us to offer sacrifices of praise and sacrifices of thanksgiving. You want to see us offering our bodies as a living sacrifice to you. But Lord, if there is sin in our lives, if there is unconfessed sin in our lives, if there is this prideful hardness of heart and hardness and haughtiness of spirit, stiff-necked kind of a situation in our own self, Lord, you don't want our worship. You don't want our false praise, because we do not want to offer that as a substitute for the cleansing and the repentance that we need to have. So, Lord, cleanse us. May we come to you clean, and may we come to you with a contrite, with a broken heart, with a broken spirit, yes, in the context of this psalm, Lord. Bless and lead this time of prayer this morning. Draw us into one accord, that our prayers would be totally in harmony, because we're responding to your spirit, and there's only one spirit, one Holy Spirit. We each have that spirit within us, but in accordance with your Holy Spirit as you lead us and guide us. So these moments now, Lord, are for you, as you would hear our prayers for the church, as you would hear our prayers for the leaders of the church, as you might hear prayers for missionaries, that you might hear prayers for the conference going on here today, that you might hear prayers for people to want to share and to give out the good news, Lord. We're here. You tell us how beautiful are the feet who spread the good news, who share the good tidings. And Lord, I believe that's the one primary reason why you have given us all breath this day who know you, and that is to share it with others. So even this psalm, Lord, I pray that you would put on our hearts those that we might share this with in a loving, beautiful way, not in a condemning way of saying, you sinner, you got to get right with God. Although that is true, they need to do that. But Lord, help us to share your word, whatever it is. And those who come to the conference today that sit and soak up all these kinds of things they'll hear, the question is, what are they going to do with it? What good is it? Are we just clay pots like the Dead Sea filled up and sitting there? Or are we the Sea of Galilee with the freshness coming out, pouring out, Lord? And so guide us and lead us now. In this time of prayer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.